Testing? Okay, better. Thank you for worship leader for leading the worship, and then thank you for the wonderful music that we can all together to worship God, and we want to thank you. So today, and I'm so glad that I can be together with all of you and study the word. I have six pages, so let's get to it, hopefully. Okay, so let's look at this week. Do you know... There's so many things happens other than Donald Trump. that is all in the news. And then there are some other stories that stands out. And I want to share with you, do you know who is Ahmed Mohammed? No? Okay, you do? Okay, so do you know who that person is? Anybody want? Okay, the kid that brings a suitcase, looks like a clock, and then to a school, and then he got arrested. Okay, so because it's a race issue, or they think the teacher thinks he's supposed to show his project to his engineering teachers, but then he went and showed it to his English teacher too, but then the English teacher got worried because it looked like a suitcase, and it may be a bomb, so then he or she called the police, and then he got arrested. And there's another story. The story that I saw it actually from Facebook. Someone shared that. James Blake. Do you know who James Blake is? Okay, buddy, right now. He's like he used to be a U.S. Tennis player. He actually were in. You know, U.S. Open just finished last week, right? So he was attending the U.S. Open. He was just standing in the hotel waiting for someone to pick him up to go to the U.S. Open. But then he was just standing there doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, there's a cop came over him, and then he was just standing there. And then the cop just came and pounded him down, and then arrested him. And then throughout this. Thing, someone recorded it from the surveillance camera, and then you can see him smiling, even though, you know, he got beaten down and then just brutally get arrested. So, and then also the Ahmed Mohammed, when we look at the pictures, if you go check the news, the kid was handcuffed and then when they arrest him to go to the police. So for these two incidents, then we look at it and say, hey, the police isn't, we see it on the news all the, you know, recently, the whole year, right? The last year, this year, that those police are pretty brutal, right? I mean, they are, how come they can't, you know, your perception, your to a police that thinking that they're supposed to be, you know, have a higher standard. I bring out this thing, this is a law enforcement oath of honor from when the police, you know, when they swear in to, swearing to become. A police, that's something that they have to do. They say, oh, I don't know if you can see it. This is something they say, oh, on my honor, I will never betray my badge, my integrity, my characters, or the public trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always uphold the Constitution, the community, and the agency I serve. So help me God. This is something that the police has to do when they... You don't want to take that job as a police. So when we see something like this happen in the news, then our perception to the police might change, right? At least for me, when I see that, wow, we're saying, man, nowadays those police are really, you know, they're trying to be above others, and then they just, you know, have a license to do whatever they want. But then, this whole week, right, it was pouring. I mean, it was raining almost every day in the beginning of the week, and then we actually have flood warnings. Then I have to take Katie to school every day in the morning. So in the morning, then there's a cop that always have to, you know, he has to go there and do the, you know, direct the traffic. And then I see him one day because it's pouring. The guy, you know, he's consistent. At a certain time, he's always there. And then he would direct the traffic. And then one day, it was pouring, it was raining really hard. And then I see the cop just, you know, still doing the things that he always do. And then it was pouring, and he didn't really rush, and you know, sit back into the car and do nothing, but he still do whatever he does. Then my perception to the police changed again. I say, hey, maybe not all the police are like that. So how about a Christian? Okay, Jesus tells us to pick up the cross and follow him. So when we do that, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we actually need to pick up the cross. And we become the ambassador for Christ. And we actually have to, I have a tie, and I have a emblem of a cross on a tie. We actually, people might think a Christian has a different standard. So we're living in a world, a challenged world today, that is now is more become more hostile to the Christians, to us. How do we live a life that brings glory to God? How do we live to be a genuine Christian that we can live a life that be different? In order to do that, we have to study God's word, right? We have, in order to know what we need to do, we have to study God's word. So that's why today I'm going to spend our time to talk about the books of Romans. This is Apostle Paul. It's a book that, you know, we want to study it because at the time when the Romans is talking about the, you know, the Roman Empire and then the capital city, and at that time the background is the King Nero is at that's the during the time that Apostle Paul wrote that book, and then that's when the time that, you know, before the previous Caesar, they actually kicked all the Jewish people out. But then when and during that time, the Jewish people and then all the Gentiles, all the Christian believers, now they live together in the city of Rome. So, and we have that background, you know, give us some similarity of today's world that we are living in a city that we have multiple culture. And what are the instructions that the Bible gives us that we can use it and we can apply it to our lives so that we can be a genuine Christians. So just give you a little background of the books of Romans. And some I heard from Pastor Scott that the Livingstone Fellowship is actually studying that. But I just want to give you a background of what Paul, when he actually, Apostle Paul, when he write the letters, he's always, you know, started with praising God, and then also then he start, you know, give us the reason, the gospel, and then at the end, he always talks about love, and then he talks about the application of what we need to do so that the followers, our brothers and sisters can read that and be able to apply to our lives. So the first thing is that for Romans, the first 11 chapters of the Romans, Paul spent a lot of time to explain the gospel, okay? So he's saying that that God is righteous, and then everybody can see God, you know, because of the nature. Nobody can deny God exists, but he's also righteous. And he's pointing out to us that none of us, all mankind are unrighteous. Everybody have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all deserve God's wrath. And we are all guilty. We are sinners. And also, nobody seek God, right? He told us that in chapter 3. And then also, he said that, but because God loves us, he gave us a salvation as a free gift. It's nothing that we do. We can earn our salvation. It's all because of Jesus. It's because of love because of the mercy and love of God. And through Jesus, we can only come to him by justified by faith alone, believed in God. And then also, he explained about the salvation. We have a new life in Christ. And then a process of being a Christian, and then there's a process called sanctification, and a lifelong process of learning how to become more like Christ. And then he also saying that the free gift of God is eternal life, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then a new life. We are living in a new life, a life in the Spirit. That's no condemnation of our sins because God, Jesus is already take care of that for us. We just need to go through the sanctification process through Christ, in Christ, until we see Jesus. Okay, and then also he explained that in chapter 8 that there's an unshakable security in Christ. Nothing can separate, we just sang the song, nothing can separate us from God. Okay, so, and with this background, then we get into, I need help. Next slide, please. Okay, we get into chapter 12. So the chapter 12, the first couple of verses, very familiar verse, right? I'm sure we look at this many, many times. And I just read it again to everyone. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable for Christ. So here, Apostle Paul, he's just saying, he's appealing, he's, you know, sincerely telling the brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We need to worship him all the time. With all the things that we do, our whole life has to be worshiping in God. And then he's saying that one thing, the second verse is that we don't want to conform to the world. So we need to be living, we need to transform and not following what the world does. And then we also see that in the following that we have to keep on renewing our mind. We need to understand, learning the words, be able to think and to discern of what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's a process that we need to learn gradually and learning to be able to know what is the will of God. So that's the settings. And then after that, then Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, the body of Christ, that everybody has different gifts. But we are one body. Everybody has some different talents, different gifts that God gives to every one of us. Then he goes to the next thing. Then he talks about what is the mark of the true Christians. This is straight from the book of Romans. It's not something I add to it. Mark of a true Christians. Then he starts talking about application, what we need to do as a Christians. So in the world that we are living in right now, the world tells us that we need to be living, you know, we need to do not conform to the world, right? That's what it says. But the world that we're living in is a postmodern world. Everything is relative, right? They tell us that we need to be politically correct. We need to don't offend anybody. Truth is relative, right? Because you just, you know, whatever you think is right is right. And be doing everything, you know, for yourself. You know, you can only advance when you step on others. You have to protect yourself. That's what the world is telling us what to do. But then when we actually look at the passage, the first thing that is said, what is the mark of a true Christian? Then the first thing Apostle Paul said is, it said, love, let love to be genuine. So this is totally different from what the world is teaching us. So what is love needs to be genuine means? So if you think about, okay, genuine, real, okay? So looking at the other side, what is fake love? What is not? What is some love that is fake? Okay? So the word, I mean, if it's fake love, then you look at dictionary, then you say hypocrite, hypocrisy. So things that, you know, you're just pretending. It's not, as Michael just said, you know, it's not the real brand cereal. It's something that is just a copycat. But what drives fake love? Why do people need to, you know, fake the love? You know, I just be myself. You know, why do I need to, if I don't love you, okay, I don't have to care about you. Apostle Paul, you know, emphasizes love needs to be genuine, especially when we are brothers and sisters. Okay, so what drives fake loves? Maybe because of pride? Maybe it's because of obligation? Maybe you want people to think that you are great? I'm just doing all the things in the wrong motive. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul talks about, Apostle Paul talks about love, the first thing that he talks about, the way of love, he said that, okay, if I speak in the tongues of men and the angels, but have no love, I am, the same as a noisy gong, okay? And if I have the powers to understand mystery and know everything in life, and I have all the faith so that I can even remove the mountain, but if I have no love, I'm nothing. If I can give away myself, I can give up myself and burn it too, but I have no love, I gain nothing. So Apostle Paul is telling us that love needs to be genuine. You have to do a genuine love is something that you want. It's a sacrifice love. In the Bible here, it says there's the agape love. It's a love that we actually cares about the person that receiving the love. We actually care for them. The motive of love is that you care for the others more than yourself. It's not coming out because of pride, of not because of, I'm doing this because people can see me, I'm doing great. Or it's not an obligation. I just want to do it because, you know, if I don't do it, my mom or my dad will yell at me. Or something like that. And because people will look at you and say, oh, you're not quite the right person or the right, you're not doing it right. So love needs to be genuine. And then the next thing that he says, abhor what is evil and hold fast is what is good. This is another thing that is totally different from what the world wants us to do. Truth is the truth. We always want to uphold the truth. What is the teachings of the Bible? Hate evil. Abhor evil means hating evil. We have to hate evil with everything and hold fast to what is good. When it's something that is biblical, we have to stand up to it and be hold fast to that. That's what we need to do. The next thing is that love one another with brotherly affections. So what is a brotherly or sisterly affection? So what is brotherly affection? What is brotherly love? Okay? So I want to give you guys an example, Recently, I saw, in a Facebook, there's a post from Aaron and Caleb. Sorry, I put you on the spot, but it is something that I want to bring up because it's truly showing what is the love, brotherly affection means. Okay, I'm just going to read just a little thing that Aaron wrote to Caleb. So he's saying, I'm sorry, but it is because he shared it. So I think But it's important that we need to learn it together, right? So that's why we are here. Thank you. So Aaron's telling Caleb, thank you for always being there for me. I would never survive these past 18 years without you. I wish you all the best in the years to come, and I'll always be here for you if you need anything. I love you, man. Take care of yourself, and I'll see you in a few months. So this is what Aaron wrote to Caleb before he go to college. But then he's showing that he truly, truly, appreciate the love and the time that Caleb spent together with him throughout all these 18 years. And then he say that too in the words that, I will always be there for you if you need anything. That's what brotherly love is supposed to be. You want to spend time with your brother and sister in Christ. You want to be there if they need something. That's what brotherly love needs to be. And outdo one another in showing honors. We need to show genuine appreciation and to the believer in Christ and always put them first. We need to learn how to do that. When someone's doing something for Christ, we need to encourage them, but not, stomp them. We want to appreciate for the work that they do, no matter what it is, and no matter who he is or she is, even though from a kid to a grown-up. We need to be appreciate and show honor to them. That's what the Bible is teaching us to do.
Second,
went too far. Okay, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Okay, that's the next thing. We need to serve Christ faithfully. Okay? So we need to serve God sincerely. We need to do a lot of works for Christ passionately. We're not just doing the work just to fulfill a quota, but we need to put our best. So when we serve God, I put a picture like this, so because I have a copy of it because I took it, right? So this is just for fun. If you see the people coming to church and then worship, and then the face are like that. Oh, this is, again, right? That's why I put the other picture later. It's just, then you wonder, you know, are you really serving God wholeheartedly? Are you worshiping God wholeheartedly? We should be doing like this, right? So we need to serve God faithfully. I want to give you an example of when you, I don't know if you guys like any sports, any musicians or anybody that you like. Name a Christian band or whatever that you like. If you are a fan of some sports, right? I don't know, football, Tom Brady, I don't know, or Miami Heat. Who is that? Who's the guy? Okay, if you're a fan of the Miami, just use that as an example, right? What will you do? You go see the game, right? You cheer for them. You wear something that shows that you're a fan of Miami Heat, right? And if what's the name of the stars right now? Dwayne Wade. Yeah. If Dwayne Wade comes to you and say, "Hey, can you get me a cup of water?" You'll be like, "Wow!" And then you'll be so excited. And then you'll say, "Okay, I'll do that." And I'll just go ahead and he'll give you a signature in your forehead or something. Then you'll be so proud, or you'll be so anxious to do that for him, right? Because you're a fan of the team, right? So that's what we need to do when we say we're serving Christ, right? We are all the fan of Christ. Okay, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that. Because if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of one believes and is justified. And the mouth one confess and is saved. When you look at that, oh, it's just so simple. I just need to believe in Christ and you know, in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. For with the hearts one believe and justify, you'll be saved. Okay, just need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? It sounds simple, but a lot of people think that was the case. That's why we have a lot of problems. But then this word right here, Lord, what does that mean? Lord is master, right? Okay, when that Lord is master, then an example of if you are working for a company, you're working for your boss, will you go and go to your boss and say, "Boss, can you give me everything that I need? Can you let me work just 1 hour a day? Can you just make my job so easy that I have nothing to worry about, and just give me everything that I need, okay?" Will you come? You go to your boss and say that to him, and your boss will just say, look at the watch and say, "Okay, when is his probation period? I'm going to fire him." But when we say that Jesus is our Lord, how often that when you go to prayer, when we pray to God, we always ask, "Lord, help me to overcome this. Lord, bless me with this. Lord, bless me with that. Help me to have an easy test. Help me to get an A, but not to have to study. Whatever." But how often do we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, today, thank you for a new day. What do you want me to do for the day?" How often do we really do that? Next. Oops. Back to the... and then we have to rejoice in hope. Okay? What does rejoice in hope means? Okay, so we have to be... are you a glass half full person or a glass half empty person? Would you view life as everything is, it's going to fail? Or you're a very optimist and then you have hope in everything that you do? We are Christians and we should have faith, hope, and love in us because we are all just a foreigner in this world. Okay? We should have hope in Christ because our destination is not here. Okay? We're all waiting, longing for be with Christ, be with God in heaven. So it says that rejoice in hope. We should be happy and be joyful instead of, you know, complaining. Just not like the face that I just showed before that, you know, we come to worship like, you know, like that. And when we see, sometimes we see that. I mean, when I was, you know, in the service and then when up here and then, or singing, I look down and I see the people like that. And then I wonder why. okay, next thing. Okay, also what it says is that we have to be patient in tribulation. Sometimes Jesus didn't promise us that we don't have a tribulation. In the world, there is tribulation. But we need to be patient. Sometimes through our difficulties, a couple of things that we can learn. We can learn to first trust in God, right? So it can show us that sometimes we are so little. We cannot be everything. We just don't have control in the world. So that we can be humble ourselves to God. And also throughout the tribulation that we can learn how to rely on God and so we can have an experience. So when some other brothers and sisters have the same issues, then you can help them out. That's why we are a group of people. I mean, we are a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why we have the church here. Next thing, what does it say? Be constant in prayer. How often then when you face a problem, you'll go and pray first? Or you trying to do your best in your own ability to fix the issue? Oops. In Christian Today, this is from August. That's a story on Ashley Madison. Do you know what that is? Okay. Their website saying that life is short. What is that? Life is short, have an affair. That's the website is. And because they have like a security breach, so a lot of people showed the names of the people that had the account, and with the names were all became public information. And we saw that in Christian Today, they are saying that there's 400 church leaders, pastors, staff, and deacons. They have to resign because of that. Because those people have accounts with with that website. Why do I bring this up? So because evil is real. Temptation is real. That's why we say we need to pray. We need to be in constant in prayer. How often do you pray for your leaders, your teachers, your dad, your mom, the people that bring you to Christ? How often do you pray for them? It's a battle that everybody needs to fight. But it's important that we need to be earnestly praying for one another. We have to pray for our leaders, especially the ones that are actually doing the works for God. Satan is having a target in every one of them. So we need to learn how to pray for them earnestly and consistently. That's why we have to be constant in prayer. The next thing is we need to give generously. He says that what is, So in Matthew chapter 6, right, you saw this before, do not lay up yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves breaks into steel, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there's your heart will be also. Apostle Paul, in the passage, we're saying that we need to support the saints, support the church, support the people that are actually doing God's work. So we need to ask ourselves, just like this passage says, wherever your treasure is wherever your heart is. You need to examine ourselves. If God blesses us with so much, how much do we actually give back to God to extend his kingdom? This is something that we have to ask ourselves, everyone. Give generously. And Matthew chapter 25, it talks about, you know, people with great talents, you know, where people get different talents for whatever that God gives to you. If you are a guy that with great wisdom, great talents, and you are successful in life, then use it because this is the blessings that God has given to you. We need to be a steward. We are just a steward for all the things that God gives to us. Our lives here, we cannot take anything away. You know, when we, one day, everybody has to die, and we cannot take anything to the grave. And someone just share a something in Facebook that's really meaningful, that is the suitcase that we take with us is empty. This is true. So everything that we get in our lives right now is just a gift from God. We're just a steward. You get blessed with more, then use it and give generously. And we really need to think about that ourselves. Okay? So, and then continue. I hope I can finish. It keeps on continuing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. So it says that we need to live harmony with others. We need to build relationship in the world. We are, even though we can be at church, we have a brothers and sisters that we can support one another. But majority of the time, we are outside. Okay? It tells us that we have to build relationship with others. We need to live with others with harmony. Okay? And then it says something that, which is different from the world telling you, that we need to bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them. If we think about that, this is what Jesus did, right? On the cross, right on the cross, that he's in pain. Jesus said, Lord, do not hold the sins against those people because they don't know what they do. Right? This is a good example that Jesus told us. Also, another example is Stephen. Remember Stephen? Stephen in Acts, the deacon that is, he actually was stoned to death by people. Who stoned him? Remember? Saul. Right, Saul, right? Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote this, you know, with the revelation from God. But Stephen, he said the same thing. He said that don't hold the guest, what did he say? He's saying that don't hold those people that throwing the rocks to him, you know, because the sin that they commit because they don't know what they're doing. And that affects Apostle Paul a lot, I'm sure, right? Because he's the one that actually stoned Stephen to death. And then, but because of this, it changes life. A transformation happens because of this also, right? And then also we say, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Maybe you're saying that, hey, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's easy. You know, when you're happy, you want to celebrate something, just invite me. You know, just remind me to anything they want, and you pay for the bill, that's easy. And I can celebrate with you, and I get a free meal, right? But then, maybe, but you think about it more deeply. What happens if you're in competition with someone, whether in school, rather in or in school or at work, that maybe you need to get a promotion, and then there's another guy that is next to you doing the same thing, but he got promoted, but you didn't. Or you are doing tests, and then the other guy did a better job or competition, in math competition or whatever. He did a better job, and then he got a trophy, and you didn't. Can you do the same thing? Rejoice with those who rejoice? Can you show to them that, you know, you can celebrate with them? That's what we need to do. That's something that we need to learn how to do that. Not necessarily just with our brothers and sisters, but also with the people outside. We have to do the same thing too. Okay? We cannot be jealous of other people's success, but we have to be humble and be able to weep with those who weep and share the sorrows too. And on the other side, right, other things, when the guy that you're in competition with, he has something that bad happens to him, can you also comfort him? Or you have a mind say, oh, yeah, you're, you know, it's time that you have some problems. Okay? Do not be prideful. Okay, okay, so next things that we want to do is, I'm going to skip a lot of things, but the submission, and then Paul went into chapter 13 and talks about submission to authorities. That it's saying that every authority is from God. So God is the one that allow the government, the leaders to be there for doing good, okay? So what we need to do, Paul, the Bible is telling us that we have to submit to the authority in principle. Okay, so it says that we need to pay tax. Okay, so they said pay the tax, and he sent it for because that you also pay tax for the authorities and minister of God, attending to these very things. Pay to all what is owed to them, tax to whom tax are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed. So it's, in principle, we need to live a life in the world that we need to submit to authority. We could have different ideological things, philosophy, but we do need to respect them. Okay, you cannot say that I don't like the guy that's the governor, so I'm not going to pay tax. Okay? Or it's a similar thing is that if I'm renting a room, that the landlord is just bad. So because he's bad, I'm not going to pay rent. There's a similar things. But we cannot do that. We have we need to submit to authorities. We need to be a good citizen so that we can show to people that, you know, when everything that you do is against the authorities, then it's going to make things worse. Okay, so it's saying that we have to handle everything in peace. Okay, we just saw that before, and then do not overcome evil with evil, but we need to overcome evil with good. That's what we need to do. But one thing that we need to know is that it's not everything that we have to submit to authority, right? Oops, I'm going to skip all that. I have no time. It's showing this that we need to be wise when we submit to authority, that we need to learn to quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because an angry man does not produce righteousness of God. Okay? But what happens when there are things that's not biblical? There are examples that, you know, last week that Deacon Al preached that too, that we need to stand firm when there's something that is against the Bible. It's not biblical teaching. This is another example that Peter, in Acts, that he say we must obey God rather than men, right? So there are cases that when things that are against the teachings of the Bible, we have to stand firm on it. But just from before, we need to stand firm, but it has to be peaceful. Don't get too hang up with getting mad. Right now we have this. It's great that we can share everything on internet. We can see news and things so easily. But a byproduct of that is that we can see things that posted in the internet from the blogs. Everybody's opinion. It seems like that nowadays you can just go into the internet, spend a few hours, a few minutes, or few 30 minutes on something, read something. Now automatically you become an expert. And then you can post whatever you can post on the internet. But from the verse before, we need to be slow to anger, slow to speak. We need to think carefully and discern what is right and what is wrong. So don't fall into the trap of the social media phenomenon. That's one thing that in the Facebook that we saw, in someone else's people's post that, I forgot, they're saying that, okay, now everybody can post whatever they want. The purpose of posting whatever they want is that they're trying to change the opinion of the others. But then whoever wants to change the other opinions of the other, they didn't get anything done. But ends up everybody gets mad. You saw that? I mean, I don't know who posted that, but it's true. Okay, we need to be wise, and we need to be slow to anger. We need to, portray good example as a Christian. We cannot, fall in the same trap of the world that we can get anger easily. Next thing, basic principle, we need to love everybody. Just that's the same things that that Paul has been talking to throughout the chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15. Because if you love someone, then you fulfill all the laws. Here, it talks about that we need to walk in the light. How can we walk in the light? Is that you say that let's walk properly in the daytime. No orgies, no drunkenness, no sexual immorality, sexuality, not whoring and jealousy. So if you're not doing that, then you're walking in the light. Okay? And then just put on Lord Jesus Christ as a provision for your flesh. Gratifies his desire. I have an analogy. So this is, if you're facing the light, okay, if you're all focusing on the light, then you will not see the darkness from the other side. You won't care, because if you just focus on the light, then you can continue to walk your path following the light. But if you face behind the light, then you are following the shadows. That's when it becomes dangerous. It goes back to the world tradition. So be careful. When we have to walk in the light. Next thing. Live alive in the Holy Spirit. Okay? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is actually living in every one of us. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. That's what we need to do. We need to build up one another. We need to welcome one another. We need to treat everybody equally. Do not cause anybody to stumble. Okay? We are free. We are free to do everything that Jesus allows us to do, because Jesus is the one that paid for the sins. Some of the stuff that is tradition, it says about that do not pass judgment to one another and do not cause another people to stumble. in here, Paul is saying that don't judge others, especially because of the tradition. And from their from the background, right? Remember the Jews and the Gentiles, they have different traditions. They are accusing each other because they're eating something bad and then not following the laws, and then the other guys are saying the other things. But then, even though they are free in Christ, they said that don't the people that following the law, don't judge the other that's not, because you are free to do it. Because those are the ones actually judging the others are the weak ones. Because you are free in Christ to do to eat anything. That's just that's what the background is, talking about food. But that same principle can apply to us too. You know, traditions, Christian traditions, don't judge people that, you know, I'll give you an example of music. You know, worship, we have different tradition. Before, we have, you know, Gregorian chant, right? That's Gregorian chant, that we sing, you know, with a cappella. And then we have this whole grand, you know, choir, piano and everything, and then we have guitar. Everybody's doing that. If they're doing it for worshiping God, that's for God. So don't judge others because, you know, they're doing something different, because that's not we cannot judge. Only Jesus, God, can judge. As long as they're doing it, you know, worshiping God, that's absolutely fine. But then they're saying that also, the other thing is some of the tradition that if you, because of love, if you do something because of love that don't cause other people to stumble, you want to do it. Example is you don't want, it's okay to drink, right? Because Jesus drank too. But then it says that in the light, just the previous thing, you follow the light, you cannot be drunk, okay? That's the principle that the Christian cannot be drunk. But then you can drink, but then normally you don't see pastor, you don't see the leaders drink because it may set up as a bad example, maybe bring people to stumble. So because of love, it's not that they cannot do it, but it's just that because of love, you don't want to get, you know, take one glass of wine and then your face become red and then you go and see people and then you say, Jesus loves you. So, I mean, and that's a bad, that would be, bring a different example. So that's not what we want to do. But then there's two things goes together. Don't judge others, but, you know, because of love, trying to, you know, care for others' people's feeling and do whatever that, you know, be better for them. At the end, we need to also pray for each other to, we're living in a world that everybody is an ambassador for Christ. We also need to pray, encourage one another, and we need to pray for each other to spread the gospel. You are placed in your place for a reason, okay? Especially if you are in a place of work that there's no Christians around you. How can you portray yourself? How can you be a genuine Christian that you can be an ambassador for Christ? You have to live a life that you can show them that you're different, so you can attract them and then give them the gospel. So we have to pray for each other on that also. Okay, so at the end, I'm just putting this picture because that's what I have. But as a Christian family, we have to support one another. We have to be hand in hand. We have to shoulder to shoulder. We have to pray for each other. We have to pray for when we want to live as a witness for Christ, we have to pray for each other. We have to support each other. We're teaching each other that so that we can be different. We can live as a genuine Christians and do it hand in hand and waiting for the day Jesus coming back. So I just pose that, and we hope that everyone here, we can be not just a picture, but, you know, truly from the heart that we can support one another and love one another. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much that you give us the privilege to be your son and daughters in Christ. We thank you for your greatest love, your mercy and grace that giving to us, so we can come to you and worship you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your son Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. He paid a great price for us. The grace that we get and the forgiveness that we get is not free. Although we can come to you, we can always repent, we can always try to do better. But we pray that you'll give us the heart. Help us to strive to become more like Jesus. Help us to live a life that we can be truly an ambassador for you. And we just pray that you guide us and help us. We pray for Pastor Watt as he's coming to lead us. We just ask that you protect them. Also pray for all the staff and all the leaders and the teachers, that when they are helping us to follow Christ, that you will protect them, give them strength, your Holy Spirit protecting them, guiding them, so that they can help us together to follow you. We pray all this in our precious Jesus' name.